This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Sam Kiefer, CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Dog's Sam Kiefer next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net, providing individualized protection on more than 560 million acres of farmland. Crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Wheat growers, like most other major crop producers in the country, are pleased to see action of the House of Representatives to approve a new five-year farm bill. But even new farm policy cannot resolve the mounting pressure from high input costs and questions about the price and availability of nutrients to feed their crops. Wheat prices have been higher recently, but Sam Kiefer, CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers, says that's from poor crop conditions rather than demand. Kiefer says farmers need relief.
Input costs, fuel, extremely high. Fertilizer, astronomically high. Fertilizer was high a year ago because of rampant inflation and the war in Ukraine and all of the other things your listeners know. In the last 6 months, it's just gotten even worse. The Strait of Hormuz, the continued pressure of countervailing duties, overall inflationary pressures. We need to engage in some policy decisions in the United States that can help relieve the pressure on input costs. One of those, the easiest and quickest, could be not continuing the countervailing duties on phosphates from Russia and Morocco. That's an easy decision that can be made tomorrow. We need to engage in some more conversations globally to reduce some pressures on tariffs, not just for inputs, but also for exports. The U.S. has grown in wheat exports year over year, significantly so, but the cost of inputs is overshadowing that victory.
When we think of opportunities for wheat, genetic engineering is one that has been available for other crops, but not necessarily for wheat. What are the opportunities that some level of genetic engineering could provide of opportunity for your growers and your crop?
Well, quite simply, the sky is the limit. The research that is out there in agriculture in general is extremely exciting. It's very promising. I mean, wheat, as you mentioned, I mean, we're still breeding wheat in many ways the way Norman Borlaug started. The hard way, the old fashioned way. We've got a lot of opportunities to find new innovations. That's not to discount the great things that companies and land grants have been doing, but wheat is extremely reliant on agriculture research. Agriculture research that funnels through USDA and through partners like land grant institutions, and the genetics that are out there today are quite advanced. Pressures of pest and disease and rust and head blight are continually challenging, and I mean those are things that evolve and the genetics need to evolve every year. And as I said earlier, the yield has increased significantly. But as you look at other row crops in the United States and around the globe, wheat is potentially waiting on its renaissance for doing even greater things. I'm excited about the opportunity of research, whether it's through CRISPR technologies or genetic engineering technologies, to address some of the concerns for those in the celiac community. We can increase demand for sure if we're able to get a gluten, to address the gluten intolerance or the gluten allergy in wheat. Gluten does have good properties as it's used in the baking and milling process, but if we can address that allergenic reaction, that would be a win. outside of that, there are some advances coming. There is hybridized wheat on its way. There's hybridized wheat being planted right now and going through its process. Pioneer Corteva has one coming, I think, in two crop cycles and Bayer shortly after that. So there are some exciting things, and there continue to be field trials and research on a GM wheat. The public-private partnership, and that trait is drought tolerance, not a chemical tolerance, but a drought tolerance. And boy, that would be real nice this year to have when we have a good portion of wheat country that hasn't seen rain since November of last year.
Are you pleased with the language approved by the House of Representatives and their version of a farm bill?
First and foremost, we are pleased that Chairman Thompson has found some momentum and has moved what some have thought was an immovable object in the House of Representatives. Hats off to Chairman Thompson in getting a bill across the finish line in his chamber, at least, and making sure that it was a bipartisan bill, which is important to send that over to the Senate. The first thing we are pleased about is the fact that it has moved. Largely it's the same bill that he moved 2 years ago in his committee, but daggum, we got it moving, and that's great. What we're excited about in this version of the language is that the credit title is being modernized and opportunities to access credit, both long-term and short-term operating loans would be increased. The cost of farming has increased drastically since the 2018 Farm Bill was put into place. We all know that just in our personal lives, our own grocery bills, our own auto loans and gas pump experiences. The cost of doing everything has increased. We need to make sure that the credit title follows along with that, and that's a good thing. We are extremely excited that the Food for Peace provision is moving along and is part of the language. When USDA received the Food for Peace program from the State Department earlier this year, we were ecstatic. That's where it needs to be, right along the McGovern Bill program and other humanitarian programs. USDA is the agency who knows how to move U.S.-grown commodities across the globe, and it's a win-win. You know, we're it's a humanitarian program. We're spreading the goodness of U.S. freedom and democracy to countries that need it, and we're moving U.S. grown grain. It's a win-win all the way around. We're also excited that the U.S. Grain Standards Act was extended through the Farm Bill, and that's important to maintain fair pricing and international confidence in the U.S. Products. CRP is important to agriculture, especially when it comes to protecting marginal lands and highly erodible soil, and we're glad that CRP was extended. And one of the more exciting things was a bipartisan amendment that was made during the committee markup by Representative Charisse Davids that would direct USDA's NRCS to study and report on the use of winter wheat as a harvestable cover crop. I mean, there's a lot of folks who have wheat as part of their rotation, but it just has not been identified as a cover crop, harvestable cover crop in USDA. So this is a good first step to getting that across the finish line. There's a whole lot more in the Farm Bill that is good, but those are the highlights.
So with the work that was done during H.R. 1, the budget reconciliation last summer, and now the remainder of titles in the House that have been approved, is this adequate to provide a better outlook for wheat producers, or are there still elements that need improvement to at least provide a better safety net for wheat growers?
The One Big Beautiful Bill, the reconciliation package that passed last year and was signed into law last year, was extremely helpful on the financial side. While we didn't experience the financial impact of the Title I programs, ARC PLC, and the reference price increases, we will experience that in this crop, this current crop cycle. But the certainty of the Title I, the economic portion of the direct economic portion of the Farm Bill, and the remaining titles that are moving now, That's what farmers have been waiting on, is certainty. We need a five-year farm bill. Congress has been kicking the can down the road year after year after year, 3 years in a row. Our farmers are looking for and deserve farm policy for the long term. They're businesses, and they need to be able to know what the lay of the land is, what federal programs and what partnerships are available to them for more than 1 year. So this is exciting. Ag research is important. I've said that already, but we would like to see a significantly larger investment in agriculture research. China is outspending the U.S. 2-to-1 on public investment in ag research. And that's not a new phenomenon. We're talking decades in the making. The European Union, who looks at agriculture or agriculture systems drastically different than the United States, they are also outspending us. We need to significantly increase our commitment to ag research so that we can truly put the U.S. grower in the driver's seat again to lead production conversations around the globe. You know, American agriculture is great today because of the significant investments that were made in agriculture research post-World War II, and we need to see a new renaissance of investment there. The work being done on the land grants, the work being done by USDA's ARS, and even in the private sector is extremely important. But dadgum, if we want to enter an arms race with China, let's do it from an ag research perspective.
Sam, can you make the case on behalf of the nation's wheat growers that additional assistance beyond the bridge assistance program, additional economic assistance is needed to get your producers through until those changes in farm programs kick in later this year?
We've seen record high costs to grow a crop for 3 years. And in this current crop cycle, prices are even higher. At the same time, we've seen near record lows or near record lows those last 3 years. And when it comes to the price of the commodity we're growing, despite the fact that we are exporting more. So it's not a supply and demand challenge here. We can grow it. Growers have lost money on average on every acre of wheat they've planted for the last 3 years. And we are looking now at some better prices, but that's a weather event. It's not a demand price. And frankly, we're seeing that wheat prices in the U.S. are higher than the global prices right now, again, largely because of weather and drought concerns. So that creates even more uncertainty when the U.S. price is higher than our competition. So there are a lot of economic headwinds, and these are not necessarily the invisible hand of the marketplace. There's a lot of U.S. policy, a lot of federal decisions that have been made that are literally causing growers to dig into their equity. You know, operating loans are being extended. Growers are shutting the doors and going out of business. Our growers are not looking to cash a government check year after year after year. They want to get their revenue from the marketplace. But when we are engaging in trade wars, when we are putting the U.S. grower at a competitive disadvantage because of countervailing duties, when we are encouraging and facilitating rampant inflation through not just one administration, multiple administrations. These are challenges that are making it difficult for farms to stay in business. This is a national security thing. It's a food security thing. We need to make sure that growers can continue to get through this year. Initiative put out by USDA, the bridge assistance, met about 30% of the loss that growers faced in 1 year, notwithstanding that faced losses the 2 years prior. So there still is a need.
Will you lose farms before this fall if assistance doesn't come?
There are already farms hanging on by a thread, and each farm is different. Each family's story and experience is different, but there are examples of farms out there who've who have been experiencing not just financial stress, but weather stress and market stress for years. We're already seeing bankruptcies increase, and that's before we're getting even entering the harvest of a season that has a lot of deep red and very much green on the drought monitor.
Sam, you have an extensive career of working for farmers in Washington and now with the wheat growers. Last week, as the farm bill was being debated, the issue of pesticide labeling was before the Supreme Court, hearing oral arguments. And in debate on the farm bill in the House, the Luna Amendment stripped language that would have provided guidance on pesticide labeling. Cory Booker, senator from New Jersey, expressing solidarity with House lawmakers, suggesting that this pesticide labeling is going to be an issue in the Senate, saying that we are trying to get pesticides off of our foods and chemicals out of our foods. Sam, is there a study? Are there reports that suggest U.S. food is laced with pesticides and dangerous for consumers?
There's certainly a lot of rhetoric that is invoking fear, uncertainty in consumers' minds. And this social media and the ease of spreading information or misinformation or partially true information via social media is becoming more and more easy. And frankly, it's turned into a cottage industry. What I find troubling is there are policymakers that seem anyway to be seeking sound bites and social media hits over rather than sound science and rather than seeking out the truth or data-backed decision making. That's concerning, and that's something that not only wheat needs to be working on, but all of agriculture. And I would even argue that the greater science and medical communities is extremely onerous. It's worthwhile, but extremely onerous to combat fear with facts. And you know, the Florida example several months ago of triple-digit levels of toxins in bread, the highest reported levels in that press conference were 191 parts per billion, which is well below EPA's regulatory tolerance, which at 30,000 parts per billion. So 191 parts per billion versus 30,000 parts per billion. There's a big difference. What was concerning about that press conference and the narrative that came out of it was that the measurement was not identified. It just had triple digit levels of glyphosate. And in order for that threshold, that finding of 119 parts per billion, in order for that finding to get near the regulatory threshold, the consumer would need to eat 600 loaves of bread a day for the rest of their lives to hit the regulatory threshold, not even the safety threshold, the regulatory threshold. I mean, I like bread, but that's a lot of bread. We do have a lot of work to do when it comes to engaging in honest conversations. I think it starts with lawmakers being willing to engage in a policy conversation and not a social media conversation.
One of the highest items on headlines this year has been the price of food. And the farmers you represent, as I understand, have always been about producing an abundant, safe, and affordable food supply. Yet the movement that is challenging the food production system is willing to take away tools that many absolutely say will raise the cost of food and will take away sustainable farming practices that those same individuals are calling for.
It certainly feels counterintuitive to those of us who are trying to make sure that the American grower is still able to grow not only the safest but highest quality food supply at an affordable price. The American consumer is still paying less than most other nations when it comes to filling their refrigerator and their pantry. It is a first world problem that we have, that we're able to hold these conversations. And we welcome any discussion, Jeff, to talk about the safety of the food, the safety of the practices that we use on the farm to grow the food. And we're willing to enter into any conversation about making sure that we're doing that in an economically feasible way. We have shown over and over again that the American grower can do that. The voices that are out there, they're not necessarily seeking to solve an affordability problem, are making a lot of progress. And that is challenging what the American consumer is experiencing. There's a lot of conversation in the midterms right now, and I'm not a political prognosticator, but this feels an awful lot like an affordability conversation that's happening in the midterm elections. And we can't have our cake and eat it too on this issue.
It was characterized in the debate that the House language was about protecting particular companies that provide these chemistries for farmers. Sam, where would agriculture be today, and where would the food production system be today, were there not companies willing to spend billions of dollars on more productive practices and chemistries that enable farmers to produce more and be more sustainable?
Starts with efficiency. The chemistries that are out there right now that farmers are using, not just in wheat, but elsewhere as well, are reducing the number of passes it takes to through the field to grow a crop. The chemistries that are out there, the technology that's out there, is reducing the need for farmers to plow every acre. That's a soil quality, a soil health issue. That's an erosion and water quality concern. There are a lot of positive aspects to what is happening because of crop protection tools. And the language that was in the House Farm Bill was not about protecting. It was about clarifying a single federal set of rules when it comes to what goes on that label and how to be implemented across the country. Labeling laws should be based on science, not by a zip code.
Sam, last issue for us in this discussion. Coming up this summer, a review of USMCA. How important is that trade agreement to the domestic wheat producer?
For wheat, there's a lot at stake. Mexico is the largest destination of U.S. wheat that is exported. So we want to make sure that we maintain those relationships, improve those relationships. Mexico has been a great partner. At the same time, Canada is also extremely important to American wheat growers. Yes, Canada is a competitor when it comes to growing, high quality wheat, just like us, in some cases, similar classes of wheat, but wheat needs fertilizer, and the U.S. doesn't have nearly the amount of mineral deposits that are feedstocks of fertilizer that Canada has. So as we are approaching the USMCA renegotiations, there's a lot at stake. First, we want to make sure that it remains a trilateral agreement, and moving this to two bilaterals would not be great. We certainly do, however, have things that we can improve. For example, with Canada, a U.S. mill and a U.S. elevator can and will accept Canadian wheat as long as they have a need and as long as the price is right. But for a U.S. grower to take wheat into Canada, it's not that easy. We want a level playing field. U.S. grower can sell directly to a Canadian mill, but not to an elevator in Canada, unless they can certify that variety is approved for commercial use and certified in Canada. And also, most of the varieties in the U.S. are never intended to be grown in Canada. So that's a non-tariff barrier that we're hoping to have some conversations with the Canadians about, not just the Canadian government, but also NGOs and growers. We're just looking for a level playing field. But overall, we are optimistic with the USMCA, and we want to just make a few minor tweaks to continue to build off of an already positive relationship.
Well, Sam Kiefer, we want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Thank you for your early tenure in working with the nation's wheat growers. Sam, this is Open Mic, and today you have the last word.
Well, Jeff, thank you for the opportunity. It's been a great 6 months so far. But there's a lot of concerns happening throughout all of agriculture, particularly in wheat country. And as we look throughout all of agriculture to engage in innovation, we also need to keep in mind that we are open to innovation, but we're doing it in the right way. And one of the things that has recently come up is the conversation about predictive markets. Thankfully, wheat growers and other commodity groups around town have been able to engage with in conversations with those in predictive markets and make sure that we are putting some guardrails on there and most importantly not creating chaos when it comes to some of the risk management tools farmers have when it comes to liquidity, price discovery, and things like that. But it's a great opportunity for us to continue to engage with the private sector. Not every solution needs to be legislation or an executive order.
Our thanks to Sam Kiefer, CEO of the National Association of Wheat Growers, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.